Kent Online News.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.
Lucy Hickmott.
It's Monday, the 5th of August. Coming up, concerns over vaporised alcohol on sale at Kent Club.
People need to do their own research really around it to see the effects it will have on you, because you're risking with addiction and alcohol poisoning.
Rural crime on the rise in the county.
Farmers and landowners are getting more and more anxious, to the point of being scared when they are isolated in their rural locations.
And Kent Paralympian signs up for Strictly.
Never danced for in my life, and I'm only, you know, if we go out or something, I'll give it a little 1-2 step. That's about as far as I'll go, so going to be interesting.
Kent Online News.
First today, there are concerns from health experts after a club in Kent became the first in the country to sell vaporised alcohol. Gallery Nightclub in Maidstone's offering alcohol mist, which is vaporised vodka in balloons. The club say they only contain 1/60th of a shot, but the effects are almost instantaneous. But public health bosses are worried it could be a particular hazard to young people. Rebecca's been chatting to John Shanley from Drug and Alcohol charity Kenwood Trust in Yalding.
When you drink alcohol, it goes straight into the stomach. When you vape alcohol, it goes down to the lungs, straight into the bloodstream, and then to your receptors in the brain. So when you drink a lot of alcohol, your body causes you to be sick if you take too much alcohol in. But when you vape it, your body doesn't cause you to be sick. So the risk of alcohol then, alcohol poisoning, is greater than when you drink it. So drinking too much alcohol is not good for you anyway, but drinking alcohol will cause your body to react against it, to stop the poisoning by making you vomit. But when you vapour alcohol, it goes straight to the bloodstream, straight to the brain, and can increase, maybe because you're taking more alcohol in, you've got the risk of overdose through alcohol poisoning, and then possibly the addiction side of it being stronger way of getting addicted into alcohol as well.
And you also said about nose airways. Is this something that it could potentially do?
Yeah, because the ethanol can cause your airways to dry out as well, so leading to more infections through that way as well. So there's not much research done on it, but the research that's coming out is showing you that it's not a safer way to take alcohol.
And so for people going to this club, would you sort of warn them to be a little bit cautious of drinking or consuming alcohol in this way?
Yeah, I mean, people need to do their own research really around it to see the effects it will have on you.
Do you have any sort of knowledge on cannabis and CBD oil? Because they're also doing a CBD infused version that they started last weekend.
From my own personal sort of take on this, CBD and THC is so confused with the way the government would portray it and other medias portray CBD oil. Now, CBD oil is very good for medical purposes, but it's portrayed as like smoking normal cannabis and things like that, when it's not. It's normally a spray or a tablet or through an oil that is consumed that way. But way it's portrayed in the media and everything like that, it's like you just grow your own cannabis and you're smoking CBD. It's a great medication, but because of the way it's portrayed, people are not using it in the way it should be used, because they're taking the THC as well, which is has a lot of health implications with like psychosis and other things. So really, again, some people need to do their research around it to really understand what CBD means.
And one last question. Could you see like vaporised alcohol becoming a popular thing in the country? Because this gallery apparently is the first club in the UK to do it.
All the time, there's no proper research around it. Yeah, it will do, because it's a new gimmicky type of thing. People will start understanding it and want to do more of it, and they realise you can get more alcohol into your system and not actually sick it up and things like that. So yeah, I believe it will come more of an attraction, especially for young people as well. It's going to be something that young people will explore, which is a very, very, very dangerous thing to allow young people to be doing.
So do you think the like government or just, you know, public bodies need to kind of, if it does get a bit more popular, need to definitely spend some money sort of looking into it?
Yeah, the research that is around with it show there is a issue around it. So the more research needed, so actual facts can be put out to saying this is the risk if you are going to do it that way.
Managers at the club insist it's safe and no one has had a bad effect from it.
Kent Online reports.
A motorcyclist has died and another has been taken to hospital with serious injuries following a crash on Romney Marsh. Two bikes and a Range Rover collided on the A259 in Old Romney near the junction with Millbank Lane just before midday yesterday. The road was closed for more than 7 hours. We're told a 55-year-old man from East Sussex died at the scene. A man's been arrested following a knife attack in Folkestone. The victim was walking along Sydney Street last Sunday when he was assaulted by a man who got out of a white car. He suffered two slash wounds to his back. A 26-year-old has since been released while police make more inquiries. At kentonline.co.uk, you can see CCTV images of some men police want to speak to after 10 people were injured at a pub in West Malling. Emergency crews were called to the farmhouse in the High Street on Friday night and found customers and door staff had suffered head and facial injuries.
Kent Online News.
10 more migrants have been brought to Kent after Border Force officers intercepted a small boat in the Channel. It was spotted heading towards Dover yesterday lunchtime. 8 men and 2 women are now being interviewed by immigration officials. On Saturday, a total of 31 migrants were picked up by the Border Force in Dungeness and in the Channel. Spudulike has collapsed into administration after a last-ditch attempt to sell the business fell through. All 37 of the baked potato chain's outlets, including those at Bluewater, the Ashford Designer Outlet and in Tunbridge, have now closed. The head office has also shut down. In total, almost 300 staff have been made redundant. Now, a new report's found Kent has more rural crime than anywhere else in the UK. According to insurance firm NFU Mutual, things like damage and theft of farming equipment and livestock went up by almost 75% last year compared to 2017. It cost the county a total of £2.5 million. Harry's been finding out more from George Ashby, who's an agent from the company.
The southeast of England is the worst affected area statistically by crime, and Kent particularly is the worst county in that region, which has a real impact for rural landowners and people that we insure and look after.
What are kind of the conversations and concerns that are being brought up and imagine being brought up more regularly with landowners and farmers in the county?
Well, frankly, farmers and landowners are getting more and more anxious to the point of being scared when they are isolated in their rural locations. And frankly, the increased amount of police officers that have been granted for Kent, they've doubled the size of their rural task force, which has had a fantastic result so far. But frankly, it's just not large enough yet. More resources need to be spent on farming to look after rural landowners and farmers.
And what is kind of the role that NFU Mutual are playing in this? Just tell me kind of what the relationship is with those landowners and farmers and what help and advice you're giving them too.
Farmers and landowners are people that we look after as a whole. Spend a lot of time trying to mitigate rural crime themselves, and we encourage them and recommend certain areas that they can do to prevent or mitigate rural crime, particularly around their farmyards.
Well, rural crime is something Nick Robinson knows all about. He works at the Kent High Weald Partnership, which runs outdoor activities in a local woodland.
Our office is based at Betchbury Pye Neatham, and it's quite remote. And it was in December of 2017 when we came in the morning, found that the lock had been bolt croppered off, and came in and saw the truck was missing, all of the doors had been kicked open, the alarm had been wrecked, and they had managed to get away with 4 chainsaws, 4 drills, cash box, and most unfortunately our truck, which we needed for work the next day.
What kind of impact does that have on yourselves, who I imagine must rely so heavily, as you've mentioned, the truck there and the machinery too?
It is difficult because we're a small team, and we are fairly flat out, and any disruption like that to what we can do, we had to cancel the work day we had the next day, lay off all of the volunteers, and then there's the psychological effect of somewhere that you thought was fairly rural and quiet and safe, knowing that it isn't safe and it can get broken into, and we've had a couple of break-ins more recently as well.
And given what you've seen and heard from other people. Are you surprised to hear that Kent has been ranked as the worst affected area for all time?
No, not at all, because obviously we're in contact with a lot of other organisations across the county, National Trust and the Forestry Commission, National Trust and Forestry England, landscapers and people like that, and we tend to get a phone call to say they're in your area, so we get a heads up. People know what's going on, so it isn't a surprise really. After our most recent attempted break-in, we were talking to a landscaper who lost all of their equipment, and they were in the local Lamphurst Engineering, the local equipment store where they sell chainsaws, and they said there was a queue of people who rely on those tools for their living who were just queuing up to replace them, so it does feel like a bit of an epidemic.
Inspector Dave Smith from Kent Police is in charge of dealing with rural crime in the county. He's been telling us what he makes of the report.
The figures purely reflect what we were expecting in Kent. The cost of replacing the expensive items that are stolen, such as tractors, a combine harvester, for instance, or plant and machinery, they're going to show as an increase. The report from the NFU, we are aware that there are increases, but for me, that's trust and confidence in reporting. We've increased, we've actually seized more plant and machinery this year. We have 65 recovered items since January, at a total cost of £370,000 back to victims. So yes, the cost of replacing it in this day and age is going to be an increase. And Kent's figures reflect the national picture as well. So it's not a surprise, but it just confirms to me and validates the Chief and Police Crime Commissioner's decision in investing in rural communities as being a vulnerable location that deserves the type of policing that we're getting now. We're getting successes, we're putting people away, and we're recovering stolen property.
Kent Online reports.
A government planning inspector will have the final say on controversial plans for more than 600 new homes near Sittingbourne. Developers also want to build a primary school, shops and a new rugby clubhouse on Wises Lane in Borden. The plans were first submitted in October 2017, but Swale Council have failed to make a decision within the set time limit. At Kent Online, you can see the moment four teenagers were rescued after getting trapped on rocks by the rising tide in Folkestone. RNLI crews were called to the two boys and two girls near the Lower Lees Coastal Park yesterday lunchtime. An 11-year-old girl from Medway is getting ready to walk 10 miles this week to raise money for the medical teams that saved her life. Angel Farley was born with multiple disabilities and had to have her leg amputated 2 days after her 10th birthday. On Wednesday, she's planning to walk from her home to Medway Maritime Hospital in Gillingham while trying to raise £1,000.
Kent Online Showbiz.
Finally today, a Kent Paralympian is swapping the table tennis court for the dance floor. Will Bailey from Tunbridge Wells is going to be on this year's series of Strictly. The 31-year-old was born with a condition that affects his limbs and balance and won gold at the 2014 World Championships and in the Rio 2016 Paralympics. I spoke to him earlier to find out how he's feeling ahead of the show.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing, I think, to go on a show like that. I think it's one of the biggest shows around, so yeah, it's just a real honour to be able to do it, and I can't wait to get started.
And did they approach you? What was your first thought when you heard that they were sort of interested in getting you on?
Well, I got asked and to give it a go and to go for a sort of a dance sort of session and to see if I, you know, see how I did, because I was like, I'm not sure I could do it, because obviously my disability and stuff, I knew it was going to be tough. But I had a really, you know, I had Jeanette, who's one of the dance professionals, I had a session with her, and she was like, you can do this well. And then I was like, oh yeah, I'll give it a go. And then they asked me a few weeks after that. So yeah, it's crazy.
And
yeah.
How did your friends and family react? Did you tell them before today, or did you have to keep it a secret?
Yeah, I told a few of them before, because like, it's too hard to keep it a secret. It's such a big thing. So I told a few of my friends and a few of my family, a lot of my friends, most of them don't know, and just found out. So yeah, a few of them are having a go at me because I kept it a secret from even like my best friends. But yeah, no, everyone's really happy for me and like excited to see me dancing and stuff like that.
So I bet you've had a lot of messages coming in this morning then from everyone.
Yeah, loads of messages, and yeah, I've had a lot of support as well from, you know, from everyone. So I'm just, yeah, I mean, it's not long now till to little starts. So, yeah, I just want to do everyone proud, really.
I'm sure you will. When does all the training start then?
It starts in a few weeks. I think two weeks I start training. But I've never danced. I've never had any lessons or anything like that. Never. Only that one session with Jeanette I've ever had. So it's going to be interesting. I think it'll take me a while to sort of get into it. But I'll do my best.
So you'll be a complete beginner.
Yeah, complete beginner. Yeah, I've never danced for in my life. And I'm only, you know, if we go out or something, I'll give it a little 1-2 step. That's about as far as I'll go. So it's going to be interesting.
And obviously you've been really busy out in Japan at the moment as well. So you've got a very busy schedule over the next few months, I imagine.
Yeah, I'm still playing tournaments. I got back from Japan last night and literally like it was announced this morning. So it's been busy, been really, really busy. But sort of a bit of a blur. I'm just hanging in there at the moment and just, taking every day as it comes. But yeah, it's going to be a busy few weeks, that's for sure.
Definitely. With sort of other Paralympic stars like Johnny Peacock we had on, was it last year or the year before? Do you think it's good that they're getting more sort of Paralympians onto the show?
Yeah, I think so. And especially like a disability like mine, it's quite severe in all four limbs. So it's going to be interesting. I don't think anyone's on the show has been on the show with sort of like a disability that could affect dancing so much. So it'll be interesting to see how I cope with it. I might look absolutely appalling. I might be able to do a bit. So we'll see. But it's definitely exciting. It's really great that they have put me, even with this with these problems, that they put me forward for the show.
Did you have any reservations when you were first thinking about signing up, or did you think straight away, yeah, let's do it?
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, I might look a bit silly and stuff. And I don't know if I'll be able to physically do it. Some of the dances are obviously, you know, different styles. Obviously, it will suit me more, but like some of the balances and stuff are going to be really tough, and some of the technical stuff is going to be tough. But they were really confident. The people behind the scenes are strictly really confident that I could do it. So when they spoke to me, I was like, yeah, I started to believe that I could. So yeah, now I'm on it.
That's brilliant. And obviously, yeah. you know, you're already a big star from all the Paralympics and World Championships and that sort of thing. But Strictly is like a whole new audience, isn't it? Do you think you'll be able to inspire even more people through that?
Yeah, that's one of the main reasons why I've done it, because I never had, like, my mum had the same condition as me, arthrogryphosis, but I never really had anyone to sort of look up to, sports stars or anything like that. And I know the Paralympics is massive, but Strictly is such a massive audience, and hopefully I can inspire like people with disabilities, you know, and things like that. Because you know, it's a great show, and if I do well, and if I can, you know, can do the best I can, train as hard as I can, you know, I can push boundaries from my own disability, and I think that will inspire people.
That's it for now. But for more news throughout the day, you can head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.